say calling and purpose. It is crucial. Or let me say it like this. It is crucial that we have a spiritual compass on the inside of us that can guide us. Must I do this or not? You know, people get confused. I sometimes sit with people that are 30, 40, 50 years old. They want to change their whole life trajectory. And they want to begin to, even though they might be called to a medical field, they want to now try to go and do business or do something else and start from scratch. Or people get to that age, still not know what is their purpose in life. Why was I born? Are you guys with me? Go for to one verse previously. I'm just looking here for a verse. Let's see what we can get. Look, Paul is saying, and he's writing this from prison. He's saying, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. Say with me, one thing. I've preached on this to you. I think the most important thing a person can do is to focus on one thing in their career. Sometimes people want to be a jack of all trades, but a master of none. He says, there's one thing I do, Paul is saying. I forget the things which are behind, and I'm reaching forward to the things which are ahead. For you to enter the call and the purpose, you have to make a decision this day to say, look, there's no more turning back or looking what happened yesterday, or the disappointment of a month ago or 2 months ago, or even the achievements. Next verse. And then he goes on, he says, I press, say with me, press. He says, I press on, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul is sitting in prison with chains, bound with chains, and he's saying, there's one thing I'm looking at even as I'm bound in prison. I'm pressing towards, I'm pushing diligently. Which means in this season of his life, he had to forget the chains that he's in and press towards the call of God upon his life. There are seasons when it comes to the call. Are you guys with me? There are seasons when it comes to the call of God. How can I, you know, I'm trying to figure out the best way to explain this. There are seasons when you enter the will of God. There are seasons. They took a study of your most influential evangelists that had the most impact in history, and they would take them and put them together and look at all the common denominators that is in each of their lives that is the same. And they said they found a process that is very unique, and I want to share this with you. Are you guys listen? You know, in the mornings we teach. Teaching builds you up. You know, this stuff is important. They realized that when they saw this great evangelist, there was a process of three things in their lives. Number one, they had a vision. If I have to ask you now, like, what is your vision? Do you have one cut, clear vision for your life? That's a whole nother thing for another message. And then secondly, they found that they had a season of preparation, battles and struggles, temptations and like a wilderness type thing. A process, some process, and then they realize that the process can be 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 5 years, but there's a process that God had to go through with them to make them genuine. Are you guys with me? You can be called, you can be like Joseph that has a dream that says, look, I will make everyone bow down before you. I'll make your family bow down before you. Joseph thought, I had the vision. Now I'm going to be the next best thing on this earth. Everyone is going to bow down before me. And he came walking to his brothers in his dream coat. And please understand, when he had the dream coat on, it was only once he had the coat from his father. We call it a dream coat. But the coat from his father, when that his father gave him that mantle, dreams began. Because Joseph's father also had dreams. Are you guys with me? His father had dreams. His father had dreams. Abraham's whole journey and encounter with God started with dreams. I'm not speaking about a dream. I dream one day. No, no, no. In the night, you dream and you see your future. Or you see, as I have a dream interpretation course, but you see in the slumbering state, as Job says, it is there where God seals our instruction. And Joseph had this dream, everybody bowing in front of him. He's walking with his father's coat, which was a royal coat. It was a coat speaking of many victories. Now, please listen. Are you guys with me? The coat that Joseph had on was, many times these coats were given many colors in that. That's why they call it the coat of many colors. And it resembled victories that, and battles that have been won. So when Joseph would walk, his brothers would look at him and think, but you have not won those battles. You are not deserving to wear that coat. But because Joseph saw the future and he carried the right clothing, he was walking as if he's already won those battles and he's already fought those battles, having the rewards. Are you guys with me? That his brothers would see him from afar off and say, look, the master of dreams are coming. The dreamer is coming again. Because they could see in it in his walk and his talk. Why? He had a vision and a calling. Are you guys with me? But he did not understand the process. The process was the prison, the pit, being sold into slavery, working in Potiphar's house, falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, until he gets to the top. If he saw the process, he would have never gone for the vision. So what God does is he gives you a vision or a glimpse only. He might show you a glimpse. You might lie and think, oh, I have this desire to preach one day. Or I have this desire to to build a lot of businesses and make a lot of money. I have this desire to build houses. I have this desire in me to help or inspire or motivate women. That is a glimpse that God gives you. And from tonight, we begin to speak on what is the voice of God. Intuition. It births from the place of intuition. When you put this bottle down here, on the edge, you're in someone's house and something just tells you that thing's gonna fall. And you ignore it and it falls. That's the birthplace of God's voice. As a prophet, I can tell you that. That when you're driving on a highway, that you feel, I shouldn't take this often, I should take the next one. And you take the next one and there was an accident by the other one. It's intuition. It's the birthplace of God's voice. It is in that place where we speak of God's sound code that gets imprinted, and then you begin to learn his language. Are you guys with me? Samuel said to Eli, the Lord called Samuel. He went to Eli. Eli said, go back. It wasn't me calling you. Go back to your bed. And he came again. He said, did you call me? He said, no, go back. And the third time, Eli said, no, wait. This boy is hearing God. Then he told him exactly step by step what to do, what to say, and what words to use. He said, go back and say, yes, Lord, your servant listens, hears. He said, you say that phrase with those words and God's voice will come back to you. If any of you are spiritual, you'll understand what I'm saying. That the prophetic can be taught. Okay. I think maybe that is for other people. So with the vision. They had vision. Number two, these evangelists, the process in life, vision. And then it's a season of preparation and struggle. Then number three, they go into then the fulfillment of this vision. Are you guys with me? You know, I was when I had a testimony, when I just got saved, I was maybe interning maybe 2 months or 3 months or so. I was 18 years old. I was on fire for God, but I was still confused. God, many things. Got offended by the one church. I got hurt. I had, at that time, I had everything from friends and family that didn't understand the experience of being born again and being saved. And I wanted to quit, intern, and I went and found a job. I remember being in a normal workplace. I was there for like 3 hours and something in me just broke and cried and convicted me like, you are not supposed to be here. And the workday wasn't even finished. I already packed my bags. I left. I said, I'm not coming back. Why? There was a call that was pulling me. Inside of me, I had a spiritual compass that said, you're not supposed to be here. You should be there. Are you guys with me? Many people ignore that thing and the chaos of life hits them. Everything that's disastrous hits them. When you step into the perfect will of God for your life, you will see peace coming on you. You will see prosperity begin to come into your life as you are obedient to that. You'll see the divine protection of God. How many times have I had people trying to kill me? They cannot touch us because of divine protection. If I was outside of His will, I would be killed. If I was outside of His will, my children could be killed. But because I'm in His will, somebody can sit next to me with a gun, but they cannot touch me. Why? Because I discovered my purpose on this earth. I know, but I've seen myself in the future. So my life cannot end now. There is a future. There is a place that God has for me to go to. Find your calling. Are you guys with me? Listen here, discover your call or life will be boring. You'll go mundane through life, having no purpose, dying like these people, never entering into the call of God. You can be saved and have no rewards. Are you guys with me? I'm not going to go through everything. I want to do one part and then be finished. And we're going to carry on next week with this part. But put on for me 1 Corinthians 1 verse 26. Let me go to before that. Go to 1 Corinthians 1 verse 14 verse 17. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 14. Oh, sorry. 1 Corinthians 1. Yeah, I think it is that one. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 14. 2:17, 14. Listen to this. Paul is at the Corinthian church and he's discovering divisions and splits and gossiping and everything going on. And now he's upset with the people. He says this. He says, I thank God that I baptized none of you. Imagine his tone of speaking. He says, you guys are full of nonsense. I thank God I never baptized any of you except Crispus and Christ. Next verse. Lest anyone should say that I had baptized in my own name. Lest you're going to go and turn and twist this thing to say, you know, I did this scrupulously. Or you, do you know how many false threats or accusations we get? There's 3 levels of attack. The first level is temptation. When you are still tempted by sin, that's the first level. Then it's persecution. That's when your family or your friends or your workplace begins to persecute you. Verbally persecute you. Or you get physically persecuted. The third level of attack is accusation. That is when Jezebel wrote a letter wrote a letter of false accusation. This is Satan coming as the accuser. Are you guys with me? Accusation is the worst thing. Lest anyone should say that I had baptized my own name. Next verse. And I said to you, you will still see accusations. If you're in this church, you'll see accusations coming to me. Oh, there's many that we've just hidden from you for your purpose. But then the rubber will hit the road. All those that are screaming, my father, jumping up and down and loyal. Let's see, you know, when those accusations come. Jesus said, if they've persecuted me, they'll persecute you and even more. This life does not go without persecution in Christianity. But in that persecution, there'll be peace and prosperity. Are you guys with me? I also baptized all of Stephanus. Besides, I do not know who else I baptized. Next verse. Look at this. For Christ did not, say with me not, send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should. Listen here. The biggest thing you can do, Paul knew exactly what he was not called to do and what he was called to do. I am not called to be a pastor and marry every person and do funerals of every person. God has not called me to that. The worst thing you can do is try to do something that God has never called you to do. The best thing you can do is stay in a line and know exactly, but wait, I am doing what God has called me to do. It is like, you know, I look at, you know, it's you can take Alan for an example. He worships, he fits right into that calling. When he worships, he feels at ease. When he worships, there's grace. When he worships, there's rest. There's provision for him when he worships, which means he's right in the calling of God for his life. Are you guys with me? I can take Martin and Marie. Martin preaches, or Marie, she is organizing and executing stuff, raising leaders. When she does it, there is a grace. There's a rest right in the calling of God for her life. If Gerard is evangelizing, he will find when he goes to the schools, it's easy and it's fun. right in the call of God for his life. Some people go to work and they thinking, oh, I have to go to my work again. Ooh, get out. Please stay to get money in, but get to your passion. Are you guys with me? And we're going to get to the second part next week. But let me just read this one verse. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 26. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 26. And you can tell the guys outside will be like 5 minutes and they can have coffee. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 26. Listen to this. For you see your calling. Say with him, my calling. Number one, God wants you to see that you have a calling. Every person who got saved has a calling. Not many wise, according to the flesh. Not many mighty, say with him, not mighty. Not many noble, it says, look here, not many who are wise are called, which means if you sit here and you feel you're not the wisest person, you lack in an area of wisdom, it means you're qualified to be called of God. You are not mighty. The word mighty means influential. That you might not have influence. You were small. Listen here, when God called me, I was 18 years old, 17 years old, in a little house taking drugs. No one knew of me. No one knew about me. Now, yes, South Africa know about us. Most of the Christians know about us. Most of the ministers hate me. But in that little room, no one knew. Why? Because I was not mighty, not influential. And then the calling of God comes. Not many mighty, not many noble. There's no royal blood in this thing. When you get born again, you get the blood of God. Next verse. But God has chosen the foolish, say with the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. Next verse. And the base things, say with the base. The word base means the lowest of low. The bottom sort. Are you guys with me? Base. It's the lowly. Those who are irregarded, who nobody, even looks at or considers or thinks. Why do you think God is looking for people who can pack a chair, clean the toilets, and the others come into the church, they don't even see them. They're just like, I am the spiritual one. I'm going to come and sit and pray, and I'm going to do my prayer meeting, but you don't. And then there's others that will clean the floor here. Some of them can be businessmen and businesswomen, but they're cleaning the floor. Are you guys with me? And then God looks at that. And he's like, that person that is serving the anoint, I consider and I look at him and I will call him. The calling of God comes when you abide in these areas. Say with me, lowly of the world. And the things which are despised, if you're despised by people, by your family or friends who have gone through rejection, it's the mark that God has called you. So that when things go good, listen to this, and the things which are not nobodies, people who are not anything, nothing is happening in their lives, to bring to nothing the things that are. Next verse. That no flesh should glory in his presence. What is he saying? He said, listen here, if I call somebody who is very wise and I make a miracle happen or something successful, they'll always point to themselves and say, it's because I'm wise. I study this or that. But when I call somebody that is unwise, had no influential, and a success comes out of their lives, they have been so chipped and cut and shaped and molded, they'll point to God and say, it is God who did it. I have no wisdom. I had no might. The person that God calls falls into this category. Are you guys with me? Stand with you to your feet. Stand with you to your feet. Raise your hands. Raise your hands. I know it was short. We had to get the vision in. But I'm going to be carrying on next week. And with this thing, we're going to show you how to discover your call. What to do, how to get it. What exactly is required to know what area you're called in. Raise your hands. Raise your hands. Say with me, say, Heavenly Father, fill this place. Fill my life. Even as I leave, let your presence abide on me. Reveal to my life the divine calling, my divine purpose. Father, I pray for every person right here, right now, that your anointing will fall upon them. I pray that our eyes will begin to be opened to see the calling, to see beyond our circumstances, but to know that we are in the elite when it comes to being born again, that we are a royal people, a chosen generation, a called people, that this calling will come upon them. Even this month, that by the end of this month, every person under the sound of my voice here will know exactly where they are walking in, what direction they must take. Let the calling be established in their lives. I pray for tonight that your power will come into this place in every aspect and every area, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Give him a praise offering.